All right, well, I'll just pick up on that and take it in a slightly different direction. To think of, I mean, going, these are sort of the bookends, where Keith started us this morning and where you've just taken us when Keith was arguing, you know, human rights history has consequences, and thinking about the stakes of human rights history, which is what you're asking about. And I guess I'd just like to, it's something I've been turning over in my head, thinking about what is the future of human rights, but the future of human rights history. Because we're at this moment now where it's, I don't know what if it's an emerging field, it's a field that has recently emerged, and we've got also the debates not just about the origins of human rights, but now the origins of human rights history. So is it Ritter? Is it, you know, I mean, there's various origin points as well. But let's just say that this is something, human rights, the history of human rights is on the agenda, right? We've had the AHA take up the theme for a conference, I think, back in the 90s. So it appears to be this emergent field, and yet I really wonder, I want to ask a kind of pointed question about what its future might be. Because what are the stakes? Why, people obviously have different investments in the history of human rights. Why do we come to the history of human rights? And so for some people, I think, you know, maybe a very direct kind of political project and commitment, although I will say coming from the field of anthropology, I think in some of the social sciences, in some of the social sciences, the kind of scholar-activist relationship has been addressed more explicitly, right? There's a lot of discussion, and some people in anthropology say if we don't have a militant anthropology, there's no anthropology at all. I mean, I don't agree with that, but if you belong to the section, the American Anthropological Association section on human rights, one of the things that they do is write briefs for case, right? So it's got a very direct impact. And I don't think there's anything that I know of comparable in history yet. But again, I'm new to the field, to the discipline as well, so I would like to hear more about the kinds of commitments that people are making. And but so I raise this because I think one reason, and not the only reason, of course, I mean, there's many reasons why the history of human rights has taken off. There's the post-Cold War context, those kinds of hopes that Keith was talking about this morning. But then I think there's another set of people who are interested in paradigms that challenge the way we do history, right? So they're looking for transnational history, global history, right? And human rights history is very interesting in that way. You can do institutional, organizational histories. It helps us think beyond some of the frames that people have seen to sort of confine historiography. So I think there's some people for whom human rights history, I don't want to say that it's a fad or a fashion, but there's a particular investment in it because of what it does conceptually for history and not for the human rights aspect per se. And so my question on the one hand then is, what does that bode? What does that mean for the future of the history of human rights? The second point I'll raise in relation to that, and then maybe I'll stop, is also when we think about, I look at history, anthropology, you know, related fields, some of the things that are percolating now as among the next big things. I have to say there's so many turns, you know, there's been so many turns, it's dizzying. I don't even know where, if there's... But some of the things I've been reading, right? So there's a materialist turn and a vitalist turn and a complexity turn. This is why I feel like, you know, I'm just passing out from the turns. But in I would say in history and anthro, there is a very strong interest at the moment. I mean, we could group it under these kind of new materialisms. But in a number of theoretical, methodological frameworks that decenter the human, in the sense of thinking about agency in much more expansive ways, that think that insert the human into much larger frames of reference, right? So also that for me raises a question about what does that mean for the history of human rights, if there's this kind of if there's a sort of sustained interest in, I don't want to say, I mean, there is an interest in the non-human, but in the human inserted in a much larger context in which the human is decentered. I mean, now there's also kind of related debates about what happens to human rights if we really are in the era of the post-human, which I'm not sure that we are, but, right, I mean, that's a more philosophical argument. So those are just a number of things that come to my mind because, you know, we're sort of here at the center of this discussion about what is this, what contours are the field is a field assuming, and I think that it may be that a history of human rights has a kind of moment in the sun, and then the next big thing comes along. I think that the kind of related histories that we've talked about humanitarian, many a history of human rights will not disappear, but it may continue under different guises and different names. But I just want to put that out there as to what the future of this field might be. So.
Say one thing. I think those are all very good questions, and I think that especially the point you make about the division between sort of activist practitioners who become historians and historians who are trying to sort of survey the movement is one that I sort of recognize among sort of the folks that I'm friends with like Mark Bradley, Sam Wayne, who don't have an activist bone in their body, but they view themselves as sort of critical historians, so have a very different vantage point than say you or others who may or may not come from activist backgrounds but approach the study of human rights as a sort of activist sensibility or seeking to contribute to a broader sort of political project. And I'm not sure, and I think that right now that affects our methods maybe more than our interpretations, and maybe it'll affect that sort of political balance of human rights history as a field in ways that isn't apparent yet. In terms of where the field's going, I just want to note that it's almost 100% certain that the National History Center is going to be launching a sort of 5-year seminar series on the history of human rights. For the last 5 years, they've done summer seminars on decolonization, bringing together graduate students and some postdocs for a couple weeks in Washington, D.C. to sort of intensively workshop sort of dissertations and various projects around the history of decolonization. And they're starting one now, which is almost certainly going to be approved, that I'm going to co-direct for the next 5 years on the history of human rights. So all of you who are still grad students, make sure to keep my email address because I'll come talk with you. But this is one sort of forum in which this sort of history is going to be worked out. And as you know, once you see a stodgy place like the National History Center, you know that it's got institutional sort of grounding. So that's sort of one place where this sort of stuff is going to be worked out. But I'd be interested in hearing what other people are seeing about this. Because no one's being trained in the history of human rights. Human rights history doesn't have its own methodology. We all come to human rights from other disciplinary groundings, and we do human rights, but we don't necessarily do human rights history. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts about that, but there will be more. There's going to be a, this sort of stuff. There's more movies happening in New York right now as we speak at the Remarks Center. Everyone who didn't do this, and there's probably going to be something next week as well.